would have sucked to be an Orman. Let me tell you that.
No, thank you.
I'm out.
Ugh.
Especially in the middle of a whirlpool.
Welcome to the What's Over the Podcast. We fashion ourselves cinematic judge and jury. My name is JJ Crowder. I'm here with my co-host, Matzenheiner.
Better red than dead.
And Alec Burgess.
Let's get it.
We appreciate you tuning in. Go ahead and hit that follow, subscribe, like, bell notification buttons. Tell a friend about us. Tell a
Korean
admiral about us. Or just a sailor. That would work too. Or just a Korean in general if you want.
What about Korean pirates? You forgot about that.
That would work too, though. They typically aren't the good guys, though. I don't know that we're the good guys, so.
We are definitely never the good guys.
I mean, Matson sure tries, but I think Alec and I gave up on that a long time ago.
Yeah, Matson tries.
I don't know. Sometimes I straddle both sides of the fence. Alec is firmly entrenched in the diabolical evil genius, and JJ's.
I steer more towards that direction than the other. I was recently accused of at some point going to corrupt your child. So and that dude, he's still a little baby. But yeah, go ahead, follow us, do all those fun things. You can see we're kind of ridiculous and a little bit fun, at least to ourselves. But we also want to go ahead and thank Manscaped, because this episode is brought to you by the spring cleaning champions, Manscaped. This season, make sure to groom your carpets and the drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Clear out that winter bush with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and watch your confidence. It's right here. Bloom like the springtime flowers. Embrace the season and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our special offer. You can go to manscaped.com and use code THEVERDICT, all one word, for 20% off plus free shipping. It's coming up. We need to be catching spring fever. You got to make sure the wind can tickle the below the waist. And go get that in Manscaped stuff.
Jay, is it time to give the people what they want?
I mean, I think so. If you've got that geared up and ready.
We've been ready.
And why haven't you used it?
Yeah.
Although, hold on. Is this the one that needs to be... Does this need to be four-leaf clover themed, or can I just give a generic one
You can give a generic one.
All right. In the world where colors blend and weave, there's a redhead bold as autumn leaves. With a hair aflame, a fiery sheen, a sight so vibrant, rarely seen. With Manscaped Lawnmower in its hold, he tames the wild, he's brave and bold. A dance of precision, a gentle glide, in his hands no hair can hide. A redhead's tail, a journey grand, in the mirror he makes his stand. With Manscaped's aid, he finds his groove. In every stroke, he finds his move.
Oh my gosh.
I think they get, better every time.
Same time, so much worse.
Yeah. I love it.
I'm just trying to be their number one sponsor. Just look, find me. I'm here.
I get it. Well done, sir. Thank you.
I even dressed up for it. For our podcast listeners, check out our YouTube page, because I'm wearing a shirt and a tie right now. Wonder why I am? It's a good question.
I don't know. He's barely wearing the tie, but
yeah. a little skewed.
But I get it. I don't remember the last time I had one on my neck.
I was going to say, when is the last time? Dad, that's a fun fact. Speaking of JJ, tell us, when's the last time you wore a tie?
Man.
I mean, it sounds like we're easily going back multiple years.
Bare minimum, been over a year. Because I don't even remember what I wore during my interview for the current job that I have. But yeah, I might have worn a tie during one of the three or four that I had. But that would have been the last time for sure. So there it is.
Alec, yeah, when's the last time you wore a tie? It's
been 4 years.
What was it for? Back.
Huh?
What was it for?
A hanging. No, it was some sort of funeral thing.
Mm-hmm. I think. Oh, yeah.
I was forced to.
I love it. All right. Well, today we're reviewing, as part of the continuation of March being the Hidden Gems movies. We're back on Alex's bag, and there's some discussions to be had here, but
discuss all you want.
The movie is The Admiral, Roaring Currents. It was released July 30th, 2014, in South Korea. It was written by, God, I hate you, Matt. Alec, this is like the second time in 2 months you've made me do this shit. I apologize. I'm about to butcher these names. Writers, Cho Hyung Jeon, Han Min Kim. And it was directed by Han Min Kim. It stars Jesus. No, not him, but Choi Min Sik, Ru Sing Yong, Cho Jin Woong, Kim Yong Gan, Jin Gu. Thank God for that one. Though I probably said that wrong too. Lee Jung Hyun, and I'm gonna stop there because they get worse. Some very good Korean actors and actresses. How about that? The movie is about Admiral Yi Shun Sun. Faces a tough challenge when he's forced to defend his nation with just 13 battleships against 300 Japanese enemy ships in the Battle of Myeongryong. Okay. No more.
That was good, JJ.
No, it wasn't. It was terrible. The Chinese were hard. The Korean are damn near impossible. And we are not allowed to do any Vietnamese movies because pronouncing their names are very, very difficult.
JJ, you now deserve some Korean barbecue for your troubles.
Oh, I do love Korean barbecue.
It is good.
It is very good. Some bulgogi.
Well, with that being said, as we've already argued on here last episode for our listeners, if you haven't, we talk about the definition of a hidden gem, and there's some cohesivity or some agreement between JJ and Matt's and myself. But when it comes to Alec, there's some concern on what a hidden gem is. So if you haven't listened to that episode, please do. But Alec, this is your pick. Lay it on us. Like, where hidden gem, where did this come from? How'd you come across it? Because you sure don't live in Korea. So I'm just curious what television show you were watching.
This is a hidden gem 100%. It broke records in South Korea. Outplayed Avatar.
In one country.
It's a South Korean film about a South Korean hero. It's like if they made a movie about George Washington, Matt. Same thing. It's going to be a bestseller anywhere except the United States.
Actually, I think it probably would.
No, it wouldn't. But I discovered this. It was on Netflix years ago. Years ago. There was a time where there was a lot of Asian epics on Netflix, and I watched them all. And this one stood out as being amazing for the sole purpose, or you could boil it down to the sole purpose of the fact that it's a battle nobody's ever really heard of outside of Korea, and watching this movie makes you go and look it up.
I mean, I did.
I feel like he's throwing in that last phrase as a ploy to show that both of us did do that.
No, because I did it too the first time I looked at it. I was like, there's no fucking way this happened. So I looked it up.
But that's, and I'm sure there's some embellishment.
Very little, because they based the movie off of his personal journals about the battle, which they had. Mm. So they kind of took that as their basis for the script writing. Pretty much if it was in his journals, they would use it. And then you have the little bit of embellishment, but if anything, they downplayed what this dude actually did.
Sure. JJ, I'm sure the embellishments included long shots at their eyes with brooding music and slow-mo visuals and very poorly scripted fighting scenes in the background where it looks like they're like touching each other.
Yeah, they're almost as bad as John Wick 4.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, my goodness.
But yeah, I found this on Netflix, loved it, and I do think it's a hidden gem because if you ask people, nobody's heard about this guy or this story. Just darn shame.
I mean, this one straddles the line for me because of the fact that in Korea, which the country that it was intended for, right? It was a big record breaker, popular movie. However, I had heard about it, but I'd never seen it prior. to you doing it. So in that, it's one that you probably were the only one that knew about, and we're introducing it to people, I'll give you that. Okay, fine. Now, the other argument is it a good movie or not? I'm biased, as I always am. I don't know why you keep trying to get me to enjoy foreign films, because I do not like reading movies because it's distracting. And it's a me problem because I have really bad visual ADHD.
But, JJ, we could easily take out the captions from this movie and have many issues with the way that this movie was pieced together, in my opinion. But maybe you feel differently.
What were your issues with it?
What were my issues with this movie?
Yeah, I'm curious.
You know, having watched Red Cliff the month prior to this, this felt like this is in the same genre as Red Cliff. So I don't know what was going on with you in these earlier years of your life, Alec. And what
dude, I watch movies and I do not discriminate against what movies I watch.
I get it. I think the TLDR version, what was hard for me at this movie is I didn't like hate this movie, far from, but the theatrics of this movie or this type of movie, it's just, it's hard to take it seriously when it's over the top at parts. It's trying to be like overly serious, but also overly dramatic. And those things just conflict in my opinion. So it's not that I don't take the movie seriously, but I don't know. It just doesn't land the way that I want in the acting. While it wasn't horrible in this movie, it's also at times certain characters very bad. The CGI, for instance, was like an eyesore, and like nothing was done well, but they really lean into the over dramatization, and that usually just turns me off, and it definitely did in this movie.
That's fair. I'll let it pass.
Like, it's definitely a dramatic movie in ways that don't pay off for me.
I think if we're talking issues, first, let me start by saying I didn't hate this film. Like, I found myself intrigued by a lot of these parts of this film, and I enjoyed some of the acting, even though I was reading, which always detracts me from paying attention to what's going on around me in the film. But I will say that the editing's a little odd at times. Like, it felt a little choppy. And then I was confused by some of the story beats within the film. And I don't know if it's, and Alec, you may be able to clarify a little bit, but I don't know if it's because I missed things because I was reading dialogue and then trying to, at the same time, process dialogue, at the same time trying to pay attention to the story. So it could be me missing things, but I just didn't, like, there were parts of the whole conversation with his son, with the Admiral's son, where he's talking about using fear and then using fear to create courage and then having to sacrifice himself. And I get that piece of it. But, like, it felt weird that it took that long for them to bring the rest of the fleet in. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like, I got the speech. I understood the concept and what his strategy was, meaning he was going to go, like, the flagship was destined to go down. He was going to use himself as a martyr, piss everybody off on his side, and then they would attack to avenge, and there's your courage. But, like, there was a couple of moments where they showed what felt like the other captains being like, I want to go fight, right? And there was one that finally did really early, and then he reprimanded him or whatever, and then the rest finally joined at the end. But I'm sitting there going, it would have been more believable for me. And again, maybe that doesn't fit within the story. Maybe because of the journals, they know that they didn't until the very, very, very last push. But, like, I don't know. I was waiting for them to join earlier. So it just felt like what his plan was, and then holding them back for so long contradicted each other to me. And again, there may be some cultural nuance that I don't understand that's in play there, so I admit that. And I think that's some of the things that I have issues with, to what Mattson's saying, some of the over dramatization and the over the top. That's a very, at least in my experience with Asian film and television, that's a very Asian,
like,
film.
The lady on the cliff when her husband was about to die, like, tell me how she heard him.
Well, I think she heard the one scream because he heard her screaming.
Well,
but then
we all heard her screaming.
It's more she understood what he was trying to get at. And she didn't want to do it.
I get it, but it's just that is a scene that to me kind of exceeds a lot of what I'm saying. Where it's just it was extra, and this movie is a lot of extra. In like you think of a lot of times with the general and the fighting and some of the things where they have it has enough time to like look and like they focus in on the eyes. And you're like, dude, there's like 10 people dying around you and you might just be stabbed right now because you weren't paying attention to a dude off your back. And it's those things that it just pulls me out of the more of the realism that I think I should be feeling than maybe what they were going for. But again, that's what a lot of these movies, that's the style. And I just think it's probably more the style doesn't resonate with me. Because I knew that's what they were trying to do, and I just think it's not as much for me.
So I'll go back to you, JJ, because that is over dramatization. I happen to love it though, because by the time the fishermen are like, "Let's go kill some Japanese," I'm right there too. I'm like, "Let's go!"
Yeah,
because it's that buildup. But so for the actual battle, and this is from his journals, and this is the part that I kind of like, you know, movie kind of stuff is in the movie, his fleet kind of is there with him and then they just bounce. In the actual fight, they were further back and he goes forward and nobody follows him. So he kind of was writing, you know, in his journals, he's like, yeah, I had no idea if anybody was going to follow me or not. And then they do this thing. And the other part that I don't like is they don't explain stuff at the end. Like you get this shot of the turtle ship like superimposed over it. And they don't explain how apparently a turtle ship came out of anywhere. Right. And this old guy's yelling on the cliff. And it's super confusing until you realize all he's saying is that the flagship filled the role of this turtle ship. And so there's little things in there where it's like, yeah, I get it why you did that, but you didn't need it. But I mean, I just love the story as a whole. And then you get this, you have to really pay attention to what the Japanese commanders are doing. But this is their Baba Yaga.
Sure.
They want no part of Yi Sun Shin. None.
Yi Sun Shin.
Yeah. And so it's just the byplay they have. So these up close shots, you can almost see like through them to what they're thinking.
And yeah.
Okay, I get it.
One more time. Yi Sun Shin.
You'd make a great pirate.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was the other piece that I think got me a little bit, because I get what you're saying. And like I said, here's the thing. As much as there were things that bothered me about it, like I found myself against my own will enjoying parts of this movie too. Like I got excited and I got like amped. You know what I mean? And like, as bad as the background fighting was, there was some really good action scenes. But I did laugh. Like there was a couple moments when in the background they weren't even doing anything.
It was bad.
They were just talking to each other while they were leaning in close.
Really,
I was like
really bad at because having seen Redcliffe, where obviously I didn't love Red, but the Redcliffe fighting scene, there was, I mean, they were all like in it on. I was like, man, I was so impressed when that coming to this. I was like, ooh, like I really didn't think what happens if a viewer decides to look not at the one person they should be looking at. And it was so bad.
Yeah. But I do that all the time. So I saw,
well, I thought when I was happy, I was like, I'm going to be JJ right now. And I'm going to look, because I normally don't.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to look around. And I was like, ooh, I should just stick to what I do.
Yeah. Don't do what I do. It's painful, dude. I'm telling you. Because I was sitting there going like, what are they talking about? I wonder, are they like reviewing the choreography that they should be doing right now, but they don't realize that the scene started or what's going on? Because that's what I was, and it distracted me. I had a hard time understanding. And again, maybe you can fill in the spaces, because I did little to no research. I just opened up after I watched it and was like, is this real? And then read about the guy, right? The Admiral, but I didn't read into like the movie and how in depth it went. But the Pirate King guy, like I get he killed a bunch of his family, like his brother or whatever. But I didn't know who the sniper was. Do they ever say who that person is?
Haru. That was the movie magic.
Oh, okay.
Coming in for that for those dramatic shots.
Yeah. I just didn't understand the role that, I mean, other than like sniper slash defender slash, you know, pirate king guard. Like, I was confused because they would just pop up.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. You know what I mean? And be like this major player in the scene. And then I'm like, huh? And then like the shots they were taking with an old musket style. I'm like, hold on. Like, you're on mute, Mads.
I'm muted. I'm just agreeing with JJ. It's just like, all right, like,
what? Muskets were barely accurate for like 20 feet. This dude's shooting shit half a mile away.
That's why this guy stood like 40 feet from his, like, George Washington, for our viewers that can't see it. Yeah, yeah, just that part. I was like, well, there's some movie embellishment at its finest. Yeah. And I think that's a point, JJ, you're making, though, is there's parts of this movie that are historically accurate, the fighting and all, but then they do stuff like that. And I'm like, but I struggle when movies do both. I'm like, but you can't do both for me. I need to know what you are. Are you one or the other?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the only other part that, like, really, and it wasn't just the sniper. That's just the best example, right, of these characters that would, like, pop up and be important. And I'm like, who the fuck is this? Like, and why do they keep showing up randomly in moments? And I'm like, I don't understand the importance of, like, I think I would have understand because the parallels between him, the Pirate King, and then the Admiral, they tried to show some of that, like, had unfortunate things happen to them, like, were underestimated because of who they are, or, oh, they had so much success on the Admiral side that he was punished and thrown out and, you know, tortured or whatever. But, like, the mirroring stops almost there, but then they try to keep it up. Like, the Admiral had his son, and obviously we don't know if the Pirate King had a son or not, but it almost felt like they were trying to make the sniper the character, the mirror of the Admiral's son, right? Like, he's explaining why he's doing it. He's the target of all the exposition from the Pirate King. And to be honest with you, I don't need to know the Pirate King's reasons, right? Other than pirate military works for me. That's all, you know what I mean? So I think that was another thing. I was like, don't mirror, just make this guy creepy and weird. Don't ever have him take his little mask, the mask part of his helmet off. Like, I liked when that was on. And anyway, but again, there's cultural things that we have to keep into mind that I had to remind myself, okay, not the story piece, but like the mask piece. I'm sure that when it comes to the honor and politeness and the right thing, like, they don't keep that on when they go into someone's house or they're having a conversation. Like, that's not okay. And so I have to try to keep those cultural differences in play too. But it was just little things. And now I'm nitpicking, but, like, I actually enjoyed watching this movie once I got into it, right? And then the battle part was dope, other than the background fighting. But, like, the actual scenes and the fighting and the cannons and, like, you're rooting for Randall. Like, who, the other kid that came in and he gave him his dad's, like, piece of armor or whatever. I'm like, who's this guy now? Like, but so I'd be like confused and then go, okay, I'll forgive the confusion because this is cool to fucking watch. But yeah, I think that's my bit, is like whiplash throughout this whole movie. Like, but overall, like, I enjoyed most of it. It was just little things. I'm kind of being a dick at this point, but
well, that's fair. I made you watch two foreign films in 2 months.
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing, so, like, when I first watched this movie, I went on a deep dive, and, like, Admiral Yi is, like, now one of my favorite historical figures. Mm-hmm. So it's cool because they mentioned, you know, the fact, well, it's not cool, but they mentioned the fact how through corruption he was deposed and then tortured. Mm-hmm. The shitty thing was that was the second time that happened. It happened earlier in his career too. Wow. And so this guy, like, he had a storied military career, but he didn't step foot on a boat until he was in control of the Navy. So he wasn't a naval officer. And then he decided that he was going to be the best one that ever lived, to the point where he single-handedly kept Korea out of Japanese hands for 6 years. So, like, this dude, and I love the actor that they got to play him, because he's got that steely stoic kind of look to him.
Yeah.
That I was like, oh, I could see this guy.
Until he was in his PJs, and I was like, let's just get back into the battle armor here. He's pretty awesome. I've read a lot about him too, Alec. Like, he's probably one of the best officers in like history. I mean, he's incredible what he did. One of the things with the movie, I wish they would have done a little bit better, is explaining why he kind of got exiled in a sense from the government, because there was, I think it was the general that took over for him, General Yin, lost like 300 of their ships. And then that whole interaction with the commander of their ground forces and pleading, hey, like, need your support. Because everyone just wanted it to be a land battle at this point, and they were willing to give up the sea. And that's where this movie, I would have liked it even more if they had done a better job, in my opinion, setting the stage for that and understanding how that happened. And they could have just done a quick flashback or something. I think would have connected a little bit more of how we got to this dire circumstance. Because I now, when I went back around, I was like, oh, okay, that makes a ton of sense. This is where this movie really came from. But I think in terms of not knowing that at all, it didn't resonate in the way that I wanted it to until I knew it after the fact. And I was able to appreciate it a lot more. And then that whole interaction with that other military commander made so much more sense. Because while I was watching, I was like, I get kind of what's happening here, but this also seems pretty random. But then having read the history, it made a lot of sense. And I think that's maybe what we keep coming back to with this movie, is the core story is awesome, but the execution at certain parts just weren't as polished as we would like to have seen.
I can't believe I'm about to say this out loud, but I think this movie needed like a prequel movie that's about the early life of the Admiral, or another... I can't believe I'm about to say this out loud, or another 30 minutes of movie to Madsen's point. Cause it is 2 hours long, and I'll be honest. Like, I didn't feel pain in the 2 hours. Like,
yeah,
I was pretty comfortable with 2 hours. And I think if done right, to Madsen's point, like a little more introduction to the Admiral and what he's been through. Like, they tell us he was tortured, and they tell us that he's not necessarily trusted, but they need him because he's such a brilliant mind and he's so good at what he does. But like a little bit of understanding to give me even more, because I didn't start like siding with him until I learned more. Like, he had his conversation with his son, and like at first I'm like, oh, he's just a kind of a dick that doesn't say anything.
Chopped, you know, his soldier's head off.
Yeah. And I'm okay with that too. It was more like the meal part, or like the briefing part, where they're like throwing all this shit out and trying to like, this, we're going to lose this. And he just sits there, and then he's just like, all right, we're done. And I'm like, I want to root for you, dude, but I don't understand your motivations right now. Like, you just seem like you're kind of being a dick. But so I think maybe 20 minute, 30 minutes more of introduction to me would have made this movie better. And I'm not one that usually says longer is better, but I think this movie would have been better had I seen more instead of just the exposition at the beginning.
I'll do you one better. Switch out all the stuff with the scout that they had.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't really do. That's a good point. It had like nothing to do.
That's my real beef with this movie, especially after doing the amount of research that I had. So Admiral Yi was kind of a dick.
Okay. I mean,
as most people who are really good at what they do kind of are.
Yeah.
And so he was, you know, all of this stuff happened to him because really he disobeyed orders. He disobeyed him for the right reason, because they were stupid. But he didn't trust like scouts or spies very much. And he would much rather be on site and location and look at what he was actually going to be dealing with. So the whole kind of story that has the scout, you know, getting captured, the whole kind of sidebar, that I cut that out because it's not important to the story overall. It's really the only way they were able to add some sort of love story into it, which is a very Korean kind of drama thing to do. So I would have cut that out, given us a little bit more about Admiral Yi. So then you don't have to make it 30 minutes longer.
That's fair.
I like that. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
That works.
Who was the kid that he ends up sitting with at the very end? Like, who is this kid? Who's he related to? Like, do you know who I'm talking about? Like, the one that rows the boat during the battle. Like, he comes in, he tells him your father died. Like, here's his shirt, armor, whatever it was, like his naval uniform, basically. And then he says, can I join you in the fight? And he says, yeah, but only if you got an oar in your hand. And then he sits with him, brings him food at the end, and then has him sit down and they're talking. Who the fuck was that kid? Like,
just random guy.
But it's just another thing where, like, didn't,
yeah,
like, why? Like, it didn't mean anything.
If I had to guess, like, he, Admiral Yi was one of those people who was a dick, but not to his soldiers. Mm-hmm. And according to, you know, what they know about him, what he wrote down in other accounts, was he was very adamant about, like, trying to fulfill last wishes for his men. So I think that was trying to show the fact that he wasn't this, you know, dickish commander that was like, briefing's over, let's go. And that, you know, if you served under him, or you had people, you know, your family served under him, like, he took care of his own type of a thing. But gotcha. Other than that, I would have cut that out too. Didn't need it.
Well, but I get, like, okay, that makes sense. Cause if you learn about him, if you're from Korea, you learn about him in your history. And I'm sure that there's those nuanced pieces that people talk about that to them, that probably made sense to see it in the movie. To me, I'm just like, who the fuck is this kid? Like, why are we spending so much time on him? Like, and the other thing I thought was maybe it was a narrative choice, so that when they went into the belly of the boat, they're doing all the cannon shifting, and then they're like, we got to row it, or we got to stop it from hitting the rocks. Like, you have somebody to key in on when you're down there. It's not just random people that are underneath there. You're actually keying in on someone that you referenced. So it could have been maybe it's both, but it could have been a narrative choice to keep people going, oh, okay, I recognize this person. We're just seeing what they're up to.
Would have sucked to be an Orman. Let me tell you that.
No, thank you.
I'm out.
Ugh.
Especially in the middle of a whirlpool.
Well, that was the other thing I laughed at, because I was like, you know, there's like, what? I mean, probably 20, 30 guys down under there. Man, they got those boats moving.
Yeah, they're not moving.
I was like, oh, wait, what? Most of the time, Orman on a big ship like that are simply there to, like, reinforce the rudder and your actual sails and stuff. So I was like, those are some strong Orman. They are cooking.
Or, I mean, obviously, I'm sure they dramatize the actual whirlpool effects. Sure. Like, I clearly it helped them. But if it was like that, I was like, well, I think you're all going to die. You're all dead. Because there's some serious spinning going on there. And if you're not dead, you're definitely all throwing up and then some. Maybe that's why they were fighting like they did, JJ, because they're all seasick.
Like, hold on, pause. I'm going to puke.
there was definitely a dramatic movement there. I was like, if that's what was going on, I was like, I don't know if, yeah. I'm thinking we're all just trying to live and get out of there.
Yeah. So did that come straight from his journals? There was a world pool that popped up in the middle of this fight.
Yeah, it's legit.
Yeah, so he picked this spot because of it, because the tide shifted every 3 hours. So his plan was, Japanese are going to come at me, I got to hold them for 3 hours.
Yeah.
If I can do that, then the tides shift. And Korea has always been technologically superior over Japan, because Japan's always focused on their infantry, right? Samurai and everything like that. Sure. Their infantry is top notch. And so they always use ships as a means to transport their weapons to the other guy. Korea took the opposite route, and their ships were a lot stronger, a lot better constructed, more guns, more cannons, everything like that. And so he knew that if he called him for 3 hours, then with the current behind him, he could ram the boats.
Yeah.
Of the Japanese. Then what he was counting on was kind of a little bit of his own legend, that at that point they'd say, nope, fuck it.
Yeah, I'm out.
I'm out. This isn't worth it type of a deal.
Sure. Okay, that makes sense. I mean, yeah, I understood the strategy of the changing currents. I just didn't know if, like, this, like, Pirates of the Caribbean fucking style whirlpool popped up in the middle of the fight. And, you know, farmers got to come over and help pull them out of it on rowboats. That was another one. I'm like, dude, you guys got some strong ass hands.
That was the dramatization, but there was a whirlpool. I don't know if anybody got stuck in it.
Yeah, and I was looking at the ships too. The way that they constructed the turtle ship with the dragon head that they could kind of move and such, that, from what I understand, that's pretty historically inaccurate and wouldn't function the way that they showed. But the ship still looked very much like that, but not to the extent that they showed in this particular film.
Yeah, it's got to look dope ass in the film. Like, oh, I don't get to see that thing on the water.
Yeah, that's the worst part of the movie.
And you're like, fuck.
It was one of the other things that did bother me. I know what they had to do. It was the CGI when they showed the significance of the Japanese fleet. I just, and we always come back to this. If you're going to do it in the movie, it's got to look good. It can't look like, I'm like, and then they would show that and then go to the ship and back to the CG. Like, just, I don't know. Just doesn't look good. And it detracts from the experience to me.
I was a little more, it did bother me, but I was a little more forgiving about it in this situation because I don't know.
I know they don't
like
have
budgetary restraints or anything like that. As far as like, I don't know if that's like something that, because I know in like Chinese films, they don't care as much, right? About they don't care if the CGI is bad. Whereas we Americans, we're spoiled. Like we want fucking top notch shit. We want something to look real. And so I just don't know. But I don't know that there's a ton of budget. But yes, there were some moments I was like, that looks really.
JJ, fake. What was the budget for this film?
20 mil.
Alec?
9.
Very good guess. 9.7.
Nice.
How much did this movie make worldwide?
45.
120. Oh, I was way off.
Yeah, a lot more than we thought.
Most of that is South Korea.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can't say I hated the film, though. I'm like, yeah. You got any other trivia for us before we rate this thing, Mattson?
I think we're good.
All right. Alec?
My movie, film, my buddy. Go.
Your go.
So I love this film. I definitely think it qualifies as a hidden gem in the fact that it opens you up to a new story, lets you kind of experience something that you might not have known about before. I'm going to give it a 3.5. I don't know. I do know. I'm going to watch it again. I don't know how long it's going to take before I rewatch it again, but it's always one that I like to sit down, watch, and it gets you pumped up, man. I love it. So 3.5 for me.
There you go. All right, Mattson.
I'll give it a 2.5. I think it's
better than I thought. There's
a lot of reasons of why I've said I don't like it, but it's also, I love movies that are based in historical significance, and this movie, it actually does a very good job of sticking to what actually happened, more so than I think many movies that we see, especially from Hollywood. And I hate when you look things up and you're like, oh, I really like this movie. And then you look and you're like, oh, wow, it's not really what I watched there. And like, Remember the Titans, for instance, I hate that I know that it's not nearly like what it is. And I just try and forget it. This movie doesn't make you have to do that. This movie's definitely... you just got to understand it's overly dramatic and fits more the cinematic style of like Korea or Southeast Asia. And if you know that going in, then you're not going to be surprised. You'll calibrate yourself accordingly. It does have subtitles. But beyond that, like, it's not something I'm going to go out and tell people to per se watch. But if you did come across and you wanted to watch a foreign film, that's all right.
Don't watch the dub. The dub is terrible.
Oh, dubs are bad.
No, this one is especially bad.
If there's anything that's worse than subtitles, like dubs are just, it's hard.
Yeah, I can't.
I tell you that, but yeah, if I had to watch this dubbed, like it would be, I'd be like, I can't do it. I'm sorry. Yeah.
As much as I hate subtitles, I can't do dubs at all. Like I won't watch a film if I have to watch it dubbed.
They're terrible.
I enjoyed this movie more than I thought I would. And I especially enjoyed it more than I thought I would after like the first 15 minutes. I was like, okay, I'm a little bit bored. Like there's a lot of exposition at the beginning that comes in the form of more subtitles. And I know in Korea, it's not more sub. You know what I mean? It's the only subtitles. But for me, I'm like, Jesus H, like I got to read this whole fucking movie. But beyond that, like, the action's good as long as you don't look in the background for the most part. Like, it's fun. It does get you pumped up. Like, I was at the end going, get him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, well, what the fuck's going to happen? So I liked not knowing the story and going into it. The acting from certain characters was really good, especially the main character, the main actor. He did a great job. Some of the side characters, I didn't understand who they were or why they were there. So that distracted me a little bit. But I can't say that I didn't find myself enjoying parts of the movie when I was, especially the battle scenes and then like the really dramatic, like character pieces. Like I actually didn't mind the part with the dude in his jams because the dude's sick. He's like dying. He's also really stressed. And then his big, like his one, what he was known for creating these turtle ships, like goes down is the one thing he was relying on. And it's gone. Like, yeah, these dudes having a panic attack. Plus, he had to like take somebody out the day before. Like, I mean, it's a rough go. I didn't mind that part. It was a little weird fever dream part, but I didn't mind it. So anyway, I don't know. I liked it. I'm gonna give it a 3. I think it's a little better than average, especially if I'm comparing it apples to apples kind of thing. But I don't know that I'll watch it again for various reasons, but I wouldn't be opposed to revisiting pieces of it. And it obviously did a good enough job to make me want to learn more about the Admiral anyway. Like I didn't read as much into the battle and all that, but I read about him and like some of his famous stuff and how ridiculous the way he died is, like the considering the amount of shit that this dude lived through. He takes a straight fucking bullet in the dome. Like Jesus, that's some bad luck right there. But yeah, anyway, it's a good pick. And I want to argue this hidden gem, but I'll give it to you. This isn't rubber. That one was still under contention. I think for it to be considered still a hidden gem, yeah, it needs to be considered a good movie in a general sense, not just an Alex. So, yeah, there it is. The Admiral Roaring Currents. Alex, tell everybody where they can find us.
Happy to. So thank you for tuning into our review of The Admiral Roaring Currents. This is week 3 of Hidden Gems. And if you haven't seen this Korean masterpiece, give it a chance. At least the last 35 minutes. Special thanks to our current patrons. Challenge accepted for the pick. And thanks to Max Bialystok. I can never pronounce that. And Richard for your support and picks for future topics in the coming months. I believe we have all of April locked and loaded and a couple topics for the months following. So if you want to get involved in future topic selection or in movie picks, join us on Patreon at What's Our Verdict. That's where all the magic happens. With that, I'll kick it back to the Titan of Terror, the Colossus of Clout, AJJ.
Yeah. Thanks, Alec. And don't forget, go over to Manscaped, get 20% off free shipping with the code THEVERDICT at manscaped.com. It's 20% off free shipping with the code THEVERDICT at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants. So we appreciate their ongoing sponsorship. And with that, as always, we appreciate you tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one.
Bye. Hasta la vista, baby.
Cinematic.